Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Ayin Aleph, and we will begin at the Mishnah on top of Daf Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph. The Mishnah continues discussing items that are included and not included in the sale of a field. Actually, Machloikis HaChroinim, if the cases discussed in our Mishnah are referring even to situation where he says, "Hu v'kol mash b'toychoi," that is the opinion of most achroinim, that even in a case where it was said, "Hu v'kol mash b'toychoi," the items that we are about to enumerate are not included in the sale. There are achroinim that suggest that where the words "Hu v'kol mash b'toychoi" were mentioned, then the items listed in the Mishnah would be included in the sale. Furthermore, of course, the Achroinim and the Paiskim all point out that in a situation where there's a clear minig hamakom, there's a custom, what is and isn't included in the sale, that is not what our Mishnah is discussing. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there is no clear minig hamakom. And says the Mishnah, lo yasah bor, when one sells a field, the pit is not included, v'lo yasah gas, nor the wine press, v'lo yasah shovach, and neither the nest, bein chariven bein yeshuvim. It makes no difference if they are in use or not in use, they're not included in the sale. And as the Nemuka Yosef explains, what's the chiddush in the Mishnah when it tells us that even when they're in chariven, then when they're not used, they're not included in the sale? Answers the Nemuka Yosef. The Mishnah is trying to teach us that if I would think that since they're not in use, so they're not considered a significant area, and therefore ought to be included in the sale, because it's really not such an important place, teaches us the Mishnah that even then they're not included in the sale. Therefore, says the Mishnah, V'tzarech likach leiderech. The Mishnah now discusses in a situation that, as we just learned, the seller has kept the bor gas v'dos, they're not included in the sale. Says the Mishnah, but the seller, since Rabbi Kiva's opinion, as we've learned so many times, is hamoicha be'ein yofu hu moicha, so he sold the entire field. So even if he retained the bar gas the shayvich, tzarech likach leiderech, he has to purchase for himself a way how to get to these different areas. Divrei Rabbi Kiva. The Chama, on the other hand, hold eino tzarech. He doesn't have to buy because moicha bein ram moicher. And since he kept these places, including in keeping these places, is included that he must have kept himself away how to get there. It's interesting. We've been learning the concept of moicha bein yofa moicha, the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. We've learned it so many times. The question that I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan discusses is how far do we take this concept of moicha bein yofa moicha? Meaning, the example that our Mishnah just gave, that if somebody sold the field and he kept himself the bar, etc., so he has a right of way, or now we're going to learn the other way, that the buyer gets a right of way to these places, the buyer, when he buys these places, gets a right of way to these places. But there's a number of ways of how to reach these places. What would be the halacha? Do we give him the best way, or is it the seller's option to choose which path to give him? Says the Yitzchak Elchanan that we're extremely generous. The halach is that moicher ben yofa moicher. We're generous and we always give the buyer the best way how to get to his location. Moicher Rabbi Kiva, however, says if he explicitly said bezman sh'omaloi chutz me'elu, that he specifically said that he is keeping these ways, so Why did he say it? As we just learned at the beginning of our Mishnah, he's entitled to keep these things anyway. By adding these words, must be, he was trying to strengthen his position, and therefore, Rabbi Akiva will agree that he doesn't have to, he will not have to purchase back a right of way to these places. According to the Rabbanan, that he's anyway entitled to right of way to these places. How do we understand the Mishnah? Say the Rishonim. The Rabbanan say that it wouldn't, these words don't make a difference. Even without saying chutz me'elu, he keeps these things and the way to get to these places. And he only said it, according to the Rabbanan, to guarantee his position. Machr lacher, and now we continue the other way. If somebody sold one of these areas to somebody else, that means he kept the field for himself, but he sold the bar v'dos, or kivayim ein tzarch likel chaderech, the buyer doesn't have to buy a way how to get to these places. Included in his purchase of these places, according to the opinion of Akiva, is the way to get there. And as I said, according to Akiva, we interpret it extremely liberally, and we, according to Yitzchak Chanan's explanation of Akiva, and he gets the best way how to get there. But Chanan, I sold the bar, the dust, the shayvich, but I didn't sell the derech. And now if the buyer wants to get away to go there, tzarech likach lederech, he has to buy himself a way how to get to these places. B'medvar amurim, continues the Gemara Mishnah, b'moicher. This debate that we're having between Rabbanan and Rabbi Kiva about moicher ben Yofa moicher or moicher ben Ram moicher is only regarding a sale. Av benois matana, when somebody's giving a gift, as we're going to see in the Gemara soon, the difference, what's the difference between a matana and a mecher? There, even the Rabbanan agree, noisens kuloi, somebody who gives a gift, gives it generously. Although, I saw from Yitzchak Zilberstein, that even though we've learned and we continue to learn this concept that when somebody gives a gift, he gives it in a very generous way, it has to be kept within proportion. He discusses two interesting shailas. He says one shaila came up that there was a Holocaust survivor arrived in Eretz Yisrael after the war, and he had obviously no means of support, and there was somebody who owned a house. He had a little corridor or whatever in the house, and he told this person, you could set up a shop. He actually set up a shop to sell hats in this corridor. And the person set up such a shop, and Baruch Hashem, he was somewhat successful, and it's already a number of years after he has arrived in Eretz Yisrael. And now, the owner of the house says, you should go rent yourself, buy yourself a store. I didn't mean for you to keep this indefinitely. And he says, the person who received this area says, we learned our Mishnah. People give a gift generously and you have no right to displace me from here. Or another shaila that he quotes. During the war, again, during World War II, there were Jews in England who fled from London, and they were living in a certain area outside of the city where a sort of a Jewish community was established. And what happened was that as they were in this community, they had to set up different needs that a Jewish community needs to have, and one of them is a mikveh. So somebody donated his courtyard where they would be able to set up a mikveh. Baruch Hashem, the war ended, and most of the Jews returned back to the city, but there remained a small community of Jews in this area that had been established during the war. This person who had donated his courtyard to build a mikveh now was interested in selling his house. And the people of the community said, no, you donated this courtyard to have a mikveh there, obviously a Jewish community needs to have a mikvah, and therefore you can't sell your house because we'll be left without a mikvah. So Yitzchak Zilberstein says in both of these situations, he quotes Shaul's Tshuva Svarim, that even though we're learning in our Mishnah, we've learned it previously, as I said, that nois matana bein yofu noisin, it doesn't mean that it's, we say it without, in under all circumstances. And certainly we have to take into consideration the circumstances under which the gift was given and what is the situation and determining to what degree did he mean to give a gift. Continues the Mishnah. Hachin shechalku, if you have brothers who divide a Yerusha, Zocha b'sada, Zocha b'kula. What happens here is, each brother takes a separate field, and says the Mishnah, that each brother who gets a field, gets the entire field. Ask the Rishonim. We learnt previously in our Perek, a situation where there were two apartments, the Pnimi and the Chitzin, which were owned by a father, and two brothers inherited these two apartments, and there's a question if the brother, Mechlekes Amoraim actually, Mechlekes Rav and Shmuel, that the two brothers who inherited the apartment, if the brother who got the inner apartment retains a right to the outer apartment, the opinion through the outer apartment, how to enter into his inner apartment, and actually the opinion of Rav was that he does retain a right how to get into the inner apartment. But our Mishnah just says, ask the Rishonim, Tosfos asked this, other Rishonim ask it, that our Mishnah clearly says that each brother gets his entire area, and that's it. So, Tosfos explains that this part of the Mishnah that we're learning now is not specifically related to the question of Moicha Bein Yofu Moicha, Moicha Bein Rahu Moicha. What the Mishnah here means is that when two brothers divide an inheritance, they want to completely separate from each other. And therefore this brother takes his field entirely, and this brother takes his field entirely. But of course, says Tosfos, that's not to mean that they want to separate from each other and they're not thinking. And therefore, according to Rav, Rav's opinion is that the brother who took the inner apartment certainly wanted to retain for himself a rite of passage how to get into that inner apartment. That's how Tosfos explains. Dvar Migash takes a different approach. Dvar Migash says that when our Mishnah says that brothers who divide the fields, each one gets the entire field that he receives as his portion, that's only regarding the field that he received. Our Mishnah isn't focused on things outside of the field that I received. The path that we're now discussing is not in the field that I received. The path that we're now discussing is in the other field. That is not the subject of the discussion of our Mishnah. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Hamachzik b'nechse hager. We've learned so many times that if a ger is the one person in Klal Yisrael who could pass away without any relatives, so when he dies, if he dies without any relatives, whoever's first to get to do an act of chazaka in his property, hamachzik nechse v'ger, hichzik besada, if he does an act of kinyan on the sada, hichzik bekuloi, he becomes the owner of everything within that field. Tosfos Yontif makes a very interesting observation. He says, when the Mishnah a moment ago spoke about achim shechalku, the Mishnah uses the words ha'achim shechalku zocha b'sada zocha b'kula. Whereas when the Mishnah just now discussed the nechsek ha'machsek g'nechse ha'ger, it used the word specifically hechsek b'sada. Why here does the Mishnah use the word hechsek and previously the Mishnah does not? So he answers that regarding nechse ha'ger, the only method of performing a kinyan is a kinyan chazaka. And that's why the Mishnah specifically uses the words hechsik. Whereas ach and shechalku are not limited to a kinyan chazaka. And that's why the Mishnah doesn't just use the word hechsik besada, hechsik bekula, but rather uses the word zoch besada. It's also interesting that the Rishonim make an interesting observation. We've discussed a number of times in our shiurim that the ability to make a kinyan in the Nechsei Hager is a weaker ability than the typical kinyan. For we have explained, whereas in a normal kinyan, there's a buyer and a seller. Whereas by a Nechsei Hager, there is no Das Acheres Makner, there is no buyer and seller. Yet, we find, point out the Rishonim, that if I purchase a property, so our Mishnah began, that if I purchase the property, or I sell the property, the bar, the shayvich, the gas, are not included. And by a ger, it is included. So we have a very interesting situation, that by a ger, more of a kinyan takes place than by anyone else. Says the Ritva, the Rajba, there's a difference between, and we made this distinction a moment ago, between what's on the property itself versus what's not on the property itself. As far as being Zoicha in Nichsei Hager, that our Mishnah is saying that somebody who's Zoicha in Nichsei Hager has a very strong ownership, that's only regarding the items that are in the field itself, the bor, the gas, the shoivach. That we say that the chazaka on the field itself is so powerful that everything becomes the machzik. When we keep on speaking about the weakness in buying something from a ger, there we're referring, say the Rishonim, to things not on the property itself, as we've learned so many times, that if somebody does an act of chazaka on a property of a ger, it doesn't help to be give him ownership on other properties. There's a difference between what's on the property itself versus what's not on the property itself. Continues the Mishnah, Hamagdish is a sada. If somebody was magdish a field, Hegdish is kula, everything is included in that Hegdish, even the different items that we began our Mishnah that are normally not included are included here. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says, Hamagdish is soda, la Hegdish elas charuf hamurkov vesadna shikma. These trees, which are normally not included, are included by Magdish. That's what is specifically different by Magdish. Although, many Rishonim learn that even though Rav Shimon speaks about the Charuv HaMurkav Vasadna HaShikma, he doesn't mean specifically these two trees, he really is referring to all, he's really referring to all trees that are on the field. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Mecher or Maishna Matana? Why do we differentiate between Mecher and Matana? Why by Mecher do the Rabbanon hold Meicher by Ra Meicher, and why by Matana do we say Meicher by Yofa Meicher? Pirish Yehuda by the Kusul of Nei Rebbe. Hi, Zeh Pirish, Vezeh Loi Pirish. I'm sorry. Someone who gives a gift says that he's including everything in the gift, whereas somebody who's selling doesn't say that. Ask the Gemara. Hi, Zeh Pirish, Vezeh Loi Pirish. Does the Mishnah speak about a situation whereby the gift he specified what he was including, and by the sale, he didn't specify what he was including? Isn't the Mishnah referring to a situation of Zeloi Pirish, the Zeloi Pirishu, that in both situations, he didn't specify what he was including? Ella explains the Gemara, Zeh Hayoloi Lefarish, the Zeloi Hayoloi Lefarish. A person who, but he call it gives a gift, that's the way the Rashbam explains, should have said what he meant, whereas somebody who sells does not have to specify, it's obvious that he's selling the minimum. And as the Rashbam explains, people who sell something are doing it because they're under duress, they need the funds that they're selling it for. So to us it's obvious that he's selling the minimum, and therefore only included in the sale is the minimum. Somebody who's giving a gift, however, is giving the gift because he wants to be generous and wants to give a nice gift. There we assume that he meant to give everything on the field. And unless he specifies that that wasn't his intention, we assume his intention was to give everything. Rabbeinu Chananu, quoted by the Rashbam, has a different explanation. He says, when I'm purchasing an item from you, I have nothing to be embarrassed. I'm paying for what I'm buying. And therefore, we should have spoken out what is and isn't included in the sale. And if it wasn't clearly articulated, we assume that only the minimum was included. But if I receive a gift from you, you're doing me a favor. You give me a gift. I'm certainly going to be embarrassed and say, does the gift include more and more and more? And therefore, we assume it includes more. I didn't ask because I was embarrassed to ask. The Ritva takes a different explanation. When I'm giving a gift to you, I'm not embarrassed of you. I'm actually doing you a favor. So if I meant to limit the gift, I should have said that I'm limiting the gift. I have nothing to be ashamed of. By not saying it, I must be that I gave you everything. However, a seller has no reason to be so clear and articulate in what he did and didn't include. And on the contrary, he says, the seller may be reluctant to be that explicit because he's anxious the sale to be come to fruition. And therefore, he didn't speak it out, but certainly he only meant to sell the minimum. The Merame Soda says as follows, along the same lines. A seller and a buyer should speak about all the details. There's nothing embarrassing about a sale. Commerce is the way the world works. And therefore, if it wasn't, what do you call it, and therefore, unless it was said, we assume it wasn't included in the sale. However, somebody who gives a gift, there it's somewhat embarrassing. So people minimize what they're saying, and therefore we say that it was included, it wasn't just mentioned to avoid any embarrassment. Says the Gemara, Huda Amalu. There was somebody that said, Havle Laplanya Basi, the Machzik Meir Gulfi. Give so and so a gift from me, a house that could hold 100 barrels. Ishkakach, Dav Machzik Meir Vesen. And as the Rishonim framed the Gemara, many Rishonim say that the Gemara here is referring to Shchimira, because as we've learned so many times, in order for a transfer of an item to be effective, you have to have a kinyan. Here we don't find any kinyan taking place. It must be that we're talking about a shchimera, and we have the lock of divrei shchimera kiksuvim ukimesurim dami, and we could assume that it was given. We could assume that it was. That's why there was no kinyan required, and he specified that he's giving this house that has a that can hold 100 barrels. And this is the only house that he has. But when we looked at the house, the house could hold 120 barrels. He meant to give him 100, and he didn't mean to give him 120, and therefore, according to the Rashbam's explanation of the Gemara, he will only get 5/6 of the house. He'll only get in place for 100 barrels. Ritva has a different explanation. He says that since this can't be the house that was meant to be given, because this house holds 120, and he said he's only giving a house that holds 100, he receives nothing. Rav Ashi Amar, Milay Tanan, then we just learn in our Mishnah, the Medvar Mamurim B'Moicher, when do we start discussing what is or isn't included dafka by a seller, av benois matana, noisinus kula. When we're talking about a gift, people are generous. Why? Because as we learned, man the yav matana, buying yav for yav. Somebody gives a gift, gives it generously. Hachanami, man the yav matana, buying yav for yav. And therefore we say that even though he said that the house has room for 100, he really meant to give a larger house, and this receiver of this gift gets this house that's even bigger than he said. So the Rishonim and the Achronim asked the question. As we just learned in the previous piece of Gemara, the Gemara drew a distinction between a noisim matana and a meicher. That a meicher, we said, ha'iloi lefarish, is supposed to be explicit and articulate in what he is and isn't including in the sale. However, a meicher is not typically that explicit. Here, however, he was extremely explicit. So ask the Mefarshim, why are we saying that he said I meant 100, I gave 100, but I didn't mean 100, he really meant the house of 120. He couldn't have been clearer in what his intentions were. So Tva explains that the entire concept of nois matana, buying yofa noisin, is based on the concept of emma ma'at, the sehabei. He says the people who give gifts, their characteristic is that they say less than they actually do. And therefore, even in a situation where he was clear, like in the case of our Mishnah, we said he's giving 100, and he's ending up giving, and the house really has 120, we say that the person was just being modest, but he meant to give the larger house. However, the Rishonim and the Achronim qualify what we learned in our Gemara. Rav Ashi just taught us, says the Meiri, that if the person said a house of 100 and the house holds 120, we say that's the house he meant to give. But what will be if the discrepancy exceeds that amount? That means he said that I'm giving you a house that holds 100 barrels and the house actually holds 200 barrels. Says the Meiri, a very big chiddush, since the discrepancy in this case is so significant, there, says the Meiri, Rav Ashi would agree with Mazutra that he's only entitled to half the house. Nobody makes such a significant discrepancy. The Taz says, what will happen with a giver says, I'm giving a house that holds 100 barrels. And he doesn't have any house that holds 100 barrels. He has two houses. He has one house that holds less than 100 barrels, and he has another house that holds more than 100 barrels. Which will be the house that the receiver gets? Says the Taz, he gets the smaller house. Based on the concept that we've learned so many times of Hamotzi Mechaveroi, all of Haraya. Dorach HaShulchan says that let's say he only has one house, but that one house that he has holds less than 100 barrels. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, if it holds a lot less than 100 barrels, in other words, the discrepancy is greater than the percentage mentioned in our Mishnah, then the receiver will receive nothing. He says, in such a case, we have to assume that he meant to give him a larger house, which he thought mistakenly that he owned, and now it turns out that he doesn't own that house. So it turns out that this entire gift is a matana b'tos, and the recipient would receive nothing. The Or Sameach, based on this Gemara, wants to use this Gemara to teach us a very interesting shaila that was brought to the Or Sameach. He says that there was somebody who told shlichim, a shliach, to write and deliver a get to his wife on his behalf. And he said his wife's name was Rachel Bas Yaakov. And it turns out that his wife's name is Rachel, but her name is not Rachel Bas Yaakov. Do we say that the shlichim should give the get to that woman who's his wife? And we'll assume that he made a mistake when he gave them the directive in saying his wife's name. What do we say? This is not the woman that he meant. This is not her name. So he wants to say chiddush. He says l'halocha v'loy l'maisa. That our Gemara just taught us that sometimes people aren't 100% accurate in what they say, but we assume that's what they meant. And that's why, even though he said the house holds 100 barrels, and it really holds 120, Ravashi just taught us that Moich Bain Nois Matana Bain Yofu Noisen, and he gives that house. Here too, says Dar Sameach, that the get should be given to that woman whose name is similar, although not exactly the same as the name that he identified. The Mefarshim say this concept of Noisen Matana Bain Yofu Noisen is used also in other areas. I saw from the Chedusha Harim, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, and if we're as a gift, and if we're learning now in our Gemara, the Noisim Matana, Bain Yofu Noisim, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if somebody gives a gift, he gives it generously, and certainly so is the case when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift. So we can assume that he gives us the gift in the most generous way. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift, not only gave us the Torah as a gift, he certainly gave us the ability and the way how to learn Torah and how to acquire Divrei Torah in the most effective manner. Along the same lines, the Mefarshim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos, Matana Toiva, Yeshli Beis Ganazai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have this wonderful gift in my treasure house, the Shabbos Shmoy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos as a gift. Certainly, he gave us all of the ways how to acquire the Shabbos, and included in the ways of acquiring Shabbos is that he gave us the way to be Mechin and to prepare ourselves for Shabbos the whole week, getting ourselves ready for Shabbos. And in fact, the Chedusha, the Sfas Emes says, that is why the minig is that we already say Vayitein Lecha on Matzoi Shabbos. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift for Shabbos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift, as we're learning now, by Nyofa, in the most generous way, and included in the most generous way of receiving a gift is that we should have the ability to get the gift, to prepare ourselves the way for the gift, to receive the gift. And that's why already on Matzoi Shabbos, we start saying Vayitein Lecha, preparing ourselves for the next week's Shabbos. In fact, the Chedusha Rim goes on to say, on Shabbos, part of the tefillas that we say is Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chalkai. As we just learned, our receiving of Shabbos is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that after Klal Yisrael, he says, did the Aveira with the eagle, they lost the Ksarim, the crowns that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. But since HaNoisim Matana, somebody gives a gift, HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically gives us a gift, he gives us Shabbos, he gives it to us in the most generous manner, so every Shabbos we get back the Ksarim that we lost at Har Sinai. But it is our obligation, says the Chedush Arim, to protect that gift that we get every Shabbos, and how to, and to cherish the Ksarim that we get every Shabbos. And that's why we say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yismach Moshe, you should be happy b'matnas chelkoi, with the gift that you give us. How are you going to be happy with the gift that you give us? Because we will properly protect that gift that we receive Shabbos, and the Ksarim that we receive every Shabbos we will properly protect. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah says, HaMagdish is a Sada. If somebody is Magdish a field, everything is included in the Hegdish. Shimon says the Cheruvim and the Shikma are included. Om Rav Huna makes Rav Huna the following statement. Afgav Dam Rabbanan, even though Rabbanan have taught us, we're going to learn in the Mishnah, HaKonish Ne'ilonch B'toich Shel Chaveroi, if somebody purchases two trees in somebody else's field, HaReza Lo'ikon HaKarka, he doesn't acquire the land under those two trees. The only time he becomes the owner of the land, as we're going to learn later in Amasechta, is if he buys three trees, Mocha Karka V'Shayer if somebody sells property but he keeps two trees for himself, yesh lekarka, he keeps the property under the trees. And as the Rishonim explained, This is based on the din of Meicher by Ram Meicher, and therefore, when I sell the trees, I sell it in a way that I should retain the most rights, which means that I will keep the property around the trees. And as the Rishonim explained, what that means is for two dinim. One din is that I keep not just the area by the, under the tree, but even the area around the tree, so I should be able to reach it. And the other relevant point is that if the tree dies, I should be able to replant the tree. The Rishonim ask that it's a little difficult to understand what the way the Gemara phrases what Rav Huna is saying. Because Rav Huna is saying that the purchaser of the trees doesn't get the property under the tree, and therefore the seller of the tree keeps the property under the tree. Shouldn't Rav Huna have said it just the opposite way? Since the seller of the tree keeps the area under the tree, why? Because Moicher bain Ram Moicher, therefore the halacha is also that the purchaser of two trees doesn't get the land under the two trees. The Rav Huna should have just used the opposite language. So Rishonim explain that the way to understand Rav Huna's point is Rav Huna is teaching us the following halacha. We would think that the land under the tree comes along with the tree. And therefore, if the purchaser of the land, and therefore the way Rav Huna is expressing himself is very well understood. Just like, says Rav Huna, that somebody who purchases the tree doesn't get the land under it. Why? Because the land is not automatically included in the sale. Still, the seller of the land keeps, the seller who sold his land but kept the trees, does get the land under the tree because Meicher bain Ram Meicher. Continues the Gemara. Vafil Rabbi Kiva. Even if we follow the opinion of Akiva, the Amen Meicher bain Yafa Meicher, still, Hani Mili Gaber Bar Vados. That was said regarding the Bar Vados, that the seller who keeps the Bar Vados doesn't automatically keep the way to get to them. Because the Bar Vados don't adversely affect the property around it. Aval Ilonis, when it comes to the seller who retains the trees, the Kamakashi Ba'ara, where these trees diminish the property around it because they draw out the nutrients. In East of the Lashire, if he didn't keep the land for the two trees, Lamele, the buyer could always tell him, Ekar Ilonchosh Golvazil, take your trees and be gone. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva will agree that in such a case, if the seller is self b'ayin raw, and he reserves the land under and around the trees for himself. Although there is a machlokes rishonim, how to understand what does the Gemara mean here? Im isad loyshayer lemalei, akol ilon cheshkar v'zil. Most rishonim explain what the Gemara means is that the buyer will tell the seller after the tree dies, you can't replant the tree. But that the Gemara certainly didn't mean that the buyer should tell the seller you should have to uproot your trees even while the tree is still alive. However, other Rishonim explain that what the Gemara says is that the Gemara is saying that according to Rabbi Kiva, the reason the seller keeps the land under the tree is because there's always a concern that the buyer will tell the seller, now immediately your tree is ruining my property, and remove it. Says the Gemara. Tanan. So we just said that Rav Huna's din is not only said according to the Rabbanon, it was even said according to Rabbi Kiva. Tanan. So ask the Gemara, we just learned in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Omer, a Magdish is a Sada, if somebody's Magdish a field, like Chagdish el Chorav al Murkav Sadna Shikma. V'tanei lo, and we learned, Omer Rav Shimon, Matam. Why are they included in the Hegdish? Hoyol v'yoinkim stay Hegdish. Since they draw nourishment from the field, that's Hegdish. and you're not allowed to have draw nourishment from field that's hegdish. Machlokes rishonim. What? How to understand this? Some rishonim explain this, that this falls into the category of gedulei hegdish, and gedulei hegdish have the status of hegdish. Others explain that the iser is because it's not really gedulei hegdish, but it looks like it's benefiting from hegdish, and therefore it's osur. V'sal k'daitach, ask the Gemara, if we're saying now shiuri shera, that if somebody sells a field, but he retains the trees, he retains the land around the field, ki koyanki medenaf she koyanki, he's being yoinik from his own, he's deriving nourishment from his own land. And why would that be usur? Answers the Gemara, Rav Shimon holds like Rav Akiva, and according to Rav Shimon, a seller sells liberally, and he doesn't keep any land from himself when he retains two trees, and therefore Rav Shimon says that somebody's a magdish is treated similarly to a seller, and therefore he doesn't retain that, right? Rav Huna, Damek Rabbonim. Rav Huna only said his dinner according to Rabbonim, and therefore according to Rav Shimon, he doesn't receive it. Ask the Gemara, Karabonon, Pshita, if Rav Huna was saying his din only according to Rabbonim, it's obvious that Rabbonim's opinion is Moicher Bain Raw Moicher, and that the seller retains the land. Why do we need to say it according to Rabbonim? It's obvious. Answers the Gemara, Nafgamina, the Nafuli Hadishasalhu. Even if according to Rabbanan, Meicher, by Raw Meicher, we would think that's only as long as the trees are alive. But after the trees die, the Rabbanan will hold that just like somebody who sells a property, but he retains the pit in the property, if the pit collapses, to the point that it can no longer be repaired, even the Rabbanan will agree that he can't dig a new pit here. Similarly, we would think that even though the seller of the tree retains the land under the tree, that's only as long as the tree is alive. But once the tree dies, we would think that even the Rabbanan will agree that he can't replant a tree here. Comes Rav Huna to teach us that according to the Rabbanan, he can even replant a tree in this area. The Rishonim and Achronim discuss that Al Gemara says that if somebody is magdish the property, why is there no? There's a problem that his tree is being yoinik, his tree is receiving nourishment from a field that's hagdish. Ask the Mefarshim, the why when the person made this hagdish, can't we say that he stipulated that the hagdish should be a limited hagdish? It should be limited to that he should be still retain the right to be yoinik. So the Mefarshim explained, the Tosfos Rid explains this, says this teretz, and the Chazanish elaborates on what the Tosfos Rid said. He says that when two people do a deal with each other, they have the ability to make these types of stipulations. But here we're referring to a situation that we're talking about hegdish. There is no ability to make these kind of stipulations with hegdish, and therefore we assume that when somebody is magdish, he's magdish it to the, that he should not have a schus yenikah.